May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord God, our rock and our strength. I want to show you another reading that is very similar to this in Acts. It's actually in Acts verse 9. It goes this way. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek her name was Dorcas. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." And Peter went with them, and when he arrived he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter sent them out of the room, and he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Now both Lazarus and Tabitha were people that were dearly loved. They were people of faith and disciples of Jesus. In loving God, because of this, their love naturally extended to others. When they died, there was a great outpouring of sorrow. And in Tabitha's case, this showed in her kindness, in the clothing she made, especially to the destitute. And this was on display as she was sorely missed. It's true. Someone who has had a truly beautiful soul, who has lived their lives in sincere compassion towards others, is often remembered more dearly in their passing. Today, we are remembering names of people here who have passed away, more because of who they are, and who they are in their nature, and more so if their nature reflected the nature of Jesus. About a month ago, in a Wednesday service, we were reflecting on a few people in the intercessions, and there were two names. Now, being new here at St. Martin's, I didn't know those names, and as they were read out, Jean and Di explained to me who they were, and suddenly there was a real reality of why they were remembered and loved so much. And I'm just going to ask Jean to come and share about one of those ladies. One of the ladies was called Peg Kemp, and the other one was Sheila Elliott.
Yes, Sheila was a beautiful person who loved especially children. She was a midwife who trained in Guy's Hospital in London. When she came to Adelaide, she was at the North East Hospital where she delivered many, many children that were in our schools and in our church. That was her great gift. But she carried it over in loving children. She set up a band here when we with the church, as she was the pianist. And the band involved 14, 15 children, and they loved their music. Then she started sewing bags and selling them to raise money. She said, "There are children in Children's Hospital who are dying and cannot have their parents with them. Very sick children who need to have their parents." So she started inviting us to film nights, to raise money, to build a room where parents could stay with their dying children. She sold bags. She and Bob made pancakes. They did lots of fundraising. And eventually a beautiful room that would fit the parents to stay as long as they needed was built. Then she thought, we could have more outreach to children to babies who are having problems and little ones at home. So more fundraising, more making of bags and using her negotiation skills to get people to donate. She got a car and a special sister that could leave the hospital and go out and visit those who were struggling with little children and babies. She used her gifts for God. She was a dedicated woman. We loved her here so much in the church. And as you said, it was just so special. We remember her perhaps now for what she did, rather than, you know, at the time. But she was always so busy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. And Peg used to knit blankets. I think she did that with Betty. Where are you, Betty? I've lost you. There you are. There you are there. And again, the gift of love through that blessed many people. You see, a couple of ladies saw a need and stepped out very much in faith. And these women did not have a lot. One had material to make handbags and the others had wool to knit blankets. But they began to make a difference out of the love of God and their compassion towards others. And today what Sheila and Peg started has become a legacy for many. Now I will not know many of the names being read out today, but others will. And others have been recipients of the consequences of these people's faithfulness to God in many different ways. Have you ever heard of the ripple effect? A stone dropped into a pond forms reciprocating ripples that are ever widening until the pond has ripples right to its banks. Faith is like this. Faith is picking up whatever we have, even if it is small, and dropping it into the pool of God's possibilities and trusting that God will make something of it. We do not hold a monopoly on life. One day we are all destined to leave this place and enter into God's amazing glory. What we give in faith today is in response to God's love for us. When we know God's love, our eyes are open to the needs of others and we respond with tangible compassion. People do recognize God's love in us, which is different than just social justice. And because of this, it is received by others as genuine. Over the last few weeks in Hebrews, we read that Jesus carried all that God is within his human frame. We call this God incarnate. He took on the curse of death, that is our spiritual separation from God because of sin, so that we may enter into a new life in relationship with God. This is the covenant of his love for us, in which we express in the communion's thanksgiving. Jesus brought our restoration with God, with his life, so that we could be reunited with God. He made himself the sacrifice that was needed. Only a pure, perfect sacrifice could open our hearts to God's love. He broke the curse of spiritual death and relinquished the condemnation and consequences of sin. And since the fall of humanity, this was always God's plan. We read in Revelation 21 that Jesus makes possible this renewal, not for a time to come, but for now. And in verse 3 it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now amongst his people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and their God. Because of Christ, we are in God's new order. Because of Christ, we live out his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And because of Christ, God's unfathomable love is revealed to us, and because of Christ, we cannot but respond with love to him and to all of creation and humanity. So just think of this, like Lazarus of Bethany, Tabitha of Joppa, and Sheila and Peg of St. Martin's responded in ways to reciprocate God's mercy in which they held in their hearts, and in their own ways showed his salvation grace to the world. We may only have a widow's mite, or wool to knit a blanket, or maybe even some cloth and a sewing machine to sew some handbags. But God takes the offerings of faith and can turn them into infinite possibilities and of kindness, compassion, and hope, which exalts the name of our Lord. This is the legacy they left to others. It is what God calls us to establish and invest in with our own talents and gifts. Many of these people who have passed away gave not from their affluence, but the lasting legacy starts when it comes from our hearts. Sheila and Peg and Tabitha blessed many, and many loved and cherished what they did, and their hearts are still warm with their memories. And I'll read from James 1, 26 to 27, and this comes from the Message Interpretation Bible. Those who hear and do not act are like those who glance in a mirror and walk away, and 2 minutes later they have no idea who they are and what they look like. But whoever catches even a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, his free life, even out of the corner of their eye, and sticks with it, it is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. Anyone who sets themselves up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air. But real religion, the kind that passes the muster before God, the Father, is this: reaching out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, the orphans and widows in distress, and guarding against the corruption that comes against you from the godlessness in this world. All Saints' Day acknowledges that we are all saints, and so in commemorating those who have passed, in whom we loved, it is also an act of encouragement and inspiration to ourselves. Why? As we reflect, perhaps introspectively, on our own lives and our own finite lives, in how we respond to God's love for us, in what time we may have, how we honour him and his mercy over us. And last week, Betty Bellchambers, she expressed this, and I'm holding it close in my heart. She said, "Who knows when we will go? So let us cherish that communion God has given us." Yes, God has called us into communion with him, and by an incredible act of love, he has made us to be his stones in the pools of life for others, creating ripples of care and healing, hope and salvation that is fragranced with divine love. My hope is that we all leave this world, both personally and as a fellowship in Christ, a legacy in honour for all that God has done for us, that carries on to be God's blessing to others, that no matter how inconsequential we may think we are, that in God's leading we will make a difference in the worlds of others. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, you hold our souls in your hands so compassionately. Help us to know in our hearts the cost it took you to bring us close to you, so that in our knowing we are compelled to share this love for others. And like those we loved that are now in glory with you, may our light burn always bright for you. We thank you for for the example of others have been. And may we too invest in the time we have to bring the hope of Christ to others. The legacy of Christian love. Amen.